Saracens are kings of Europe for the third time in four seasons after they beat the holders Leinster by 20 points to 10 in the Heineken Champions Cup final. Sarries are now the most successful English side in the competition's history. You'll hear from coaches and key players from both sides as we analyse the St James's Park showdown. And we'll also look back on Clermont Auvergne's victory over La Rochelle in Friday's European Rugby Challenge Cup final. That's all to come on the final Champions Rugby show of the season. Hello and welcome to Newcastle, where everybody is trying to get their breath back after a pulsating final. This is James Burridge alongside Tom May and Mike McCarthy. And what a final it was. Leinster 10, Saracens 20. And Saracens scoring 20 unanswered points after Leinster went into a 10 points to nil lead. There were huge moments in that first half, particularly Itoje Simbining, bearing in mind that Saracens lost their two front row props, particularly Makavunipola. What a loss we all thought he was going to be. But there was that key moment before half-time when Luke McGrath didn't kick the ball off, and then suddenly Leinster were penalised, and within a minute Saracens had scored, Owen Farrell had converted. We had a very different game, and Saracens just came out of the blocks in that second half and were ruthless. Tom May, your verdict first of all. I've lost my voice, I've lost my breath. I think everybody has here. What a game.
Hey, look, coming into this game, I wasn't quite sure what sort of final we were going to have. I thought it'd be very cagey. It turned out that way. First of all, I was so impressed with the defensive qualities of Saracens. I think that word suffocation is going to come up time and time again over the coming week as we digest this final. They suffocated Leinster, one of the best attacking forces in this year's Heineken Champions Cup. Some of the intensity in and around this game, it was amazing to watch. And actually, from a game where you think, actually, these two sides could nullify each other and it could prove to be a fairly dull affair, that proved anything but.
Mike, that first half, should we talk about that first half? Because Leinster went up and 10-0, they looked confident, they were oozing it. And then suddenly, as we've seen so many times in this competition, the momentum swung extremely quickly the other way.
Yeah, it was from a Leinster perspective, it was a dream start for them going 10-0 up in a Champions Cup final. You know, both teams would have spoken about how important it is to start well, you know, get scores on the scoreboard. And, you know, to me, the first 30 minutes, it looked like Leinster winning the collisions, winning the gain line, kind of doing what Saracens normally do to most teams. And then slowly, Saracens started to take over. They started winning the collisions, the gain line, winning the inches as they do, and starting to suffocate people. And, you know, Leo spoke about it in there. They're just such big men. You know, the likes of Skelton, Vunipola, Itoje, you know, all of them 1-8. They're just physically massive men. And, you know, that defending against that relentless attack from Saracens, it starts to take its toll. And, you know, as we're going to speak about a big swing before half time, but, you know, the second half, just the size of the men, you know, you just start to fatigue and run out. And then, you know, Leinster were chasing the game, massive swing in the game, Leinster were chasing, and you know, that too much to do.
That gain line battle is probably not something we addressed specifically before the final, but actually it's something that I think became more and more important as the game went on. I was quite surprised by how little domination of that area that Leinster had. And we highlight some big Saracens players. Let's not forget that Leinster, they're pretty...
They're not exactly small, are they?
Exactly. not compared to me, anyway. You know, I think, you know, with the likes of O'Brien, with the likes of Toner, Tag Furlong, they've got fellas to get them across that gain line. I just think Saracens, they managed to shift that point of attack enough that they were getting into sort of half tackles and slightly beyond, which meant that they were on the front foot more often than not.
I was lucky enough to be pitch side, and I had Saracens players and wives and family all around me, and their body language was just so hunched. You know, it was very depressing to look at. They looked forlorn, and then suddenly within a minute, it had completely turned around. Everyone was fist pumping, high fives. Everyone was standing up and cheering. And I don't know any other team who can do that in Europe.
Yeah, there's just a massive, massive swing. And, you know, as that swing started to happen, everyone started getting, you know, all the Saracens players starting getting on board. You could see, you could feel the energy, you could see the energy. And, you know, I to be honest, I was a bit shocked at halftime. 10-0 up, and I couldn't really put my finger on what had happened. It was just a complete turnaround of events. And, you know, like Tom was saying, it was just that inches, that gain line, that momentum, and, you know, how hard guys are running onto the ball. Brad Barrett, the pace he runs onto the ball, he just puts his body on the line, and, you know, ultimately they just suffocate you. That's what they did to Munster in the semi-final. Munster were very, you know, in the game for 40, 50 minutes, and then, you know, pretty similar. They just start to suffocate you, and, you know, you can't keep up. So
we're in the mix zone just behind St James's Park, where a number of the players are getting back onto their coaches, and Tom Leinster, well, they will wonder what on earth happened, because the two defining moments, in a sense, were the sin binnings. It was Scott Farley of Leinster and Mauro Toji of Saracens, and it's the way sides react to sin binnings, both in defence and in attack.
Yeah, look, I think sin binnings can go either way, can't they? It's how you deal with them as a team. I think Johnny Sexton highlighted, he mentioned the half yards. Saracens won those little half yards, and actually, if you look at the cumulative effect of those, they can have a massive, massive swing on how a game goes. I think another interesting point, Leo Cullen pointed out that they'd never have actually had to deal with the intensity that Saracens showed in that suffocating role that their defence played, and actually, they've actually got to find a way to get around that as an attacking team. Yes, they're an attacking force, but you need to be able to adapt your game so that you can look what's ahead of you and try and adapt to that.
And that second half, Mike, Leinster were never really in it.
Yeah, as I said,
I can't believe I'm actually saying that. Yeah, Leinster were not in that second half.
It was a complete turnaround in every facet of the game. We haven't mentioned the scrum. You know, Leinster started off pretty well in the scrum, and then it was, you know, Saracen were completely on top at scrum time. So, and you know, those sin binnings, the one for Fardy, it's that frustration of when you're continually soaking up big, heavy runners running hard at you, eventually takes its toll, and, you know, it can result in a stupid penalty. And, you know, they're kind of, Leinster have only given average 7 penalties a game. That's a pretty low number, but I'm sure it must be a lot more than 7 today, because, you know, because of that sheer pressure that they're soaking up from their big, heavy runners.
And it was the resurgence as well, Tom. I mean, as the game went on, most teams tire. Saracens just seem to go up another gear. They seem to thrive on the contact, the pressure, the collision.
It's actually really annoying when you play against it. But, you know, before I retired, I remember playing against Saracens, and they're still trying to build this culture. It's all about energy within a group. And actually, you can just feel it come in. And once they get momentum, it's almost like a French side. You know, when you play away in a French ground, that the crowd feeds the energy of a French team. And actually, Saracens get the same.
That's actually an area that surprised me. You know, before the game, I would have said Leinster are the fitter team. You know, they're not small, they're definitely smaller than Saracens. And, you know, the Will Skelton coming in, the size of him, I think I said to Tom before, you know, he's been great coming off the bench for Saracens, but I don't think he was an 80-minute man. But, you know, those big, heavy guys, they kept going for 80 minutes.
And two key players weren't allowed to play for Leinster, Johnny Sexton and James Lowe. A lot was said about James Lowe before this game, and he hardly really made any impact.
There was one point in that first half, and James Lowe was stood 30 metres out from where the ball was, in the middle of the field, on the touchline, waving his hand. And there was a massive gap between him and the next player in. I thought, there's no way that he's getting the ball. There is no way that Leinster have the ability to get the ball to him due to Saracens' strength in their defence. And look, we've banged on about Saracens' ability to, their intensity, their desire to work for each other. That was shown in abundance today.
Do you think they were just surprised by that relentlessness, Leinster? I can't. They knew what was coming, didn't they?
Yeah, every team, in inverted commas, knows what's coming, but it's how you deal with it. And I don't think Leinster dealt with it very well. I think for an attacking side that's been rebuilt by Philippa Contepomi, they look very, very blunt tonight.
Many already are saying on social media, Mike, about it's England against Ireland all over again. If you have the likes of Cruz, Itoje, yeah, Vunipola and Farrell and many others, the Irish don't have an answer to it right now.
Yeah, I mean, that first game of the Aviva in the Six Nations, England versus Ireland, it was, you know, England brought a physicality, aggression that Ireland couldn't live with, and it, you know, it seemed to be the case again today. I don't know, Leinster seemed a bit surprised they'd gone to a 10-0 lead, but, you know, Leinster have to dust themselves off pretty quick. They've got Munster next week, and I can tell you Munster will be licking their lips with the extra week's preparation.
Well, I was lucky enough to be pitch side and spoke to Alex Good, who's been named the European Player of the Year. A phenomenal performance from him once again, and he said it was all down to the team effort.
To win anything with this club is unbelievably special to me. Only club I've ever been at, only club I've known. It's run incredibly well. It's given my family and me so much, and I love it. I love this group. I love playing with this team, and pretty special performance there from everyone to a man, you know, who came off the bench and didn't start well, but to fight back like that and then to dominate that second half. It was the best second half I've been part of this club, I think, ever.
Can you explain what on earth was going through the players' minds when you had Maro Itoje sent to the sin bin, you had your two best props going off injured? Things were not going according to plan for Saracens at that point.
They weren't at all, and I think that just speaks volumes to the group. You know, you've got to go in some real tough periods, and Leinster, we knew we were going to have purple badges, and they were all over us in that first 30, and everything kept going wrong, but the fight amongst the group, and you know, we really let loose for that last 6 minutes of the half. We got ourselves a foothold and we went for them after that, and it makes it even more special when you're about to beat such a world-class side in Leinster. You know, they're a brilliant side, brilliantly coached, great players, and to win like that makes means even more.
And what does it mean to have the European Player of the Year title, Alex? Because I know you won't mention it, but it might prove a few critics wrong in the process.
I can only worry about my form and not worry about external things. As long as I've got the respect of the players here and the coaches, that's all that matters to me. And I said before, I'd bite your hand off to win the whole Champions Cup over any individual award, and that's still the same. It's the icing on top, obviously, to get it. It means a lot to me and my family, but I'll take that big trophy, the Champions Cup, over any day.
Well done.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, Alex. Enjoy it. Tom, may a thought on Alex Good and his season?
Maybe we didn't see the best of Alex Good tonight. I thought he played well. He's been brilliant, though, hasn't he? He's slotted in at 10. He's had fantastic performances for them in important games. But
Eddie Jones and John Mitchell
were
watching.
I was just about to say,
Danny Cipriani
and Alex Good are two fellas that people are banging the drum for to play for England. You have to ask what they have to do to play for their country. You know, this guy has been outstanding, not only domestically, but on a European stage where they're playing the top teams, the top players, and time again, he's put his hand up and been brilliant.
Well, immediately afterwards, Johnny Sexton and Director of Rugby Leo Cullen talked to the press, and we've already discussed that key moment before halftime when Saracen scored, and it all kind of began when Leinster didn't take that opportunity to kick the ball into touch and end that first half.
Our thinking at the time was to stick the ball on Billy Vunipola, who was standing on the 22, and try and win the ball over his head and try and get a two-score lead before half-time. Obviously, when you kick the ball as close to their 22, you don't want to concede a penalty, and then you don't want to concede another one and, you know, be defending a 22 line-out. So your decisions are as good as they are in hindsight. We made a ballsy decision when we were 3-0 up to go for a scrum and not take 3 points. And obviously it's a great decision because we score. It's not a good decision to box kick it when you cough up a 10-3 lead. But, you know, that period just before half-time and that period just after half-time where we had maybe two or three chances to score, that's how it felt anyway when we were in their 22, pounding away at their line, and we got so close to their line a couple of times and we didn't take advantage of the overlap, or we coughed up a couple of offloads or turnover on the deck. And obviously that 20 minute period before and after half time was crucial in the end.
Yeah, I thought it was a great occasion out there. I thought our guys started the game really well. Yeah, like even what Johnny's saying, like we create lots of opportunities. You just need to make sure you nail the chances. We're up against a very, very good team. You know, you see the size of some of those Saracens guys. Like, they're a big, big physical team with lots of quality. And, you know, as we've seen on countless occasions over the last few seasons, when a team is trying to chase the game against them, it becomes very difficult because they're so aggressive in the middle of the field, and they're very comfortable defending and putting a squeeze on teams. So I thought they did that really well. Probably strangled us then in the last 20, 30 minutes once they had a lead. Just need to dust ourselves off now. You know, we talk about so many different parts of the game, but we just need to try and move on as quickly as possible, really, because we have a huge game now against Munster on next Saturday.
So, Mike, where do Leinster go from here?
Yeah, obviously they're going to be hugely disappointed. You can see the emotion from the likes of James Ryan there in the press conference, but I think it's just a case of dusting themselves off again. You saw that last season when Sarries lost to Leinster in the quarter-final. They went away, they worked harder, they came back and they've won it. So I'm sure that's the case for Leinster, you know, in their pursuit for that fifth star on their jersey next season.
Mike, thanks very much indeed for joining us. I know it's a tough loss to take, but thanks very much indeed.
Well, thanks very much for having me, guys. And, you know, obviously, Leinster have got the added bonus of playing Munster next week, so a good chance to bounce back. But as I said earlier, Munster will be absolutely licking their lips with an extra week's preparation going into that game on Saturday.
Well, Luke McGrath joins us, and it's obviously hugely disappointing. And everyone's talking about that moment before half-time when you must have thought as a team you were going up in the lead, and then suddenly, before your very eyes, it all unravels.
Yeah, it's obviously tough to take now, you know, but to credit, like, giving away that penalty just before half-time, you know, we could have looked to maybe take another phase, kick it off, but, we chose to kind of go in the air, contest in the air and try and get the ball back and maybe for us to get another penalty, but... it was difficult giving that penalty round, but Saracens showed their class there before half time, and that was a crucial score in the end.
You mentioned Saracens' class, and we've seen their power game today. It's been mentioned in the press conference. Talk to us about what it's like to face a side like that that's just got so many big runners time and time again.
Yeah, it's very difficult to defend, especially when they attack both sides of the ruck. They have so many ball carriers in their 23, so we tried to get two-man tackles on them, but it was difficult at times. They got over the gain line, but it wasn't just their attack. I thought their defence was very impressive today, and ultimately that's probably what won it for them.
When Scott Fardy was Simbins, Saracens really put their foot on the gas. As a team, what were you trying to do to stop them?
Looking back, we'd probably have to try and see if we could manage that, 10 minutes better. Maybe try and slow the game down a little bit, but, it's hard to think back to that 10 minutes right now, but I know they scored while Scott was off, but there's definitely areas where we can improve, and, it's difficult to take now, but we have a massive game next week as well, next Saturday against Munster at home, so it's a very quiet dressing room at the moment, but, we have to regroup on Monday and Tuesday and hopefully have a good win or have a good game next week.
I know you've alluded to it already, but the level of intensity, have you ever played in a match like that before?
Yeah, it was a very difficult game. I'm sure watching back I'll kind of, see a bit more into it. It's kind of hard thinking back in the game as it's just finished, but it was an incredibly tough match. One of the hardest I've played, definitely. And we have a lot of young guys in that change room, so, hopefully that's a great experience for them, and, we can push this club forward going next year.
Appreciate you talking. Thanks, Luke.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Luke McGrath speaking to us on the Champions Rugby Show. And I have to say, Tom, I've been extremely impressed with the way Leinster have spoken. Johnny Sexton, Luke McGrath, Leo Cullen, because, they're defending European champions, and it is the most depressing thing to do, isn't it, to talk about losing on the biggest stage.
To talk to you.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks.
Look, I think it not only is it difficult to come out here, but it's difficult to come out and then answer questions in a coherent and a mature manner, which I think we've just...
Well, all of them have done that.
Yeah, and they've been brilliant. And I think that, they're a side that clearly want to learn from this. They see it as something they have to develop. They have to be able to adapt and play against sides like this. But when you see how it's hurting, you know, I've been in dressing rooms where we've lost in cup finals, and it's the thought of walking outside and speaking to press is the last thing you want to do. So the fact that they're fronting up and they're giving us a real understanding and a real insight of what it's like to play against a side like Saracens is testament to them.
And there's plenty of you talking to us on social media. Twitter is at Champions Cup. You can search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram.
This is the Champions Rugby Show.
Well, Ben Spencer joins us, a jubilant, euphoric scrum half for Saris. And Ben, well, the smile all over your face says it all. The emotions running through you right now?
Obviously a brutal game as the score showed, but all credit to the lads. They stuck in there for the full 80 minutes. I thought defensively today we were outstanding. Some of the hits that we put in were unreal, so obviously chuffed with the result, but our performance today was outstanding.
Defensively, look, this side have ripped teams apart, that Premiership sides apart this season. How much work have you had to put in this week to make sure that you nullify those attacking threats? Because, coming into this game, everyone was talking about their back line. If they get front foot ball, they've got some really dangerous players. We saw nothing from that.
Yeah, I think obviously, like you say, that we knew the strength that they had, and I mean, we work hard not just this week but all year. So we pride ourselves on our defence, and today that showed. I think the boys love defending today, and like I said, the hits that were going in, not just in minute sort of 5, minute 10, but minute 80, lads were absolutely flying in. So it's full credit to the lads today.
You've come off the field. What I really want to know is what goes on in the changing room. You know, you're in the depths of Newcastle United, St James's Park. Who are the ones that are going bonkers? Who are the ones that are staying quiet?
There's obviously a few sing songs. Richard Barrington likes to lead the charge after winning finals, so we saw a bit from him. One of the young lads as well, who's got quite a nice voice. He stepped up as well. So yeah, no, it was. It's important to celebrate these victories, and you know, obviously we've got a tough few weeks ahead of us now. And but yeah, we'll definitely enjoy tonight.
Is Mark McCall letting his hair down, Ben?
I'm sure he will. Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Well done, mate. Congratulations.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Cheers.
Ben Spencer there joining us from the mix zone. And, well, what a performance from him. I mean, everyone is talking about Richard Wigglesworth, but he is the future. Ben Spencer is the future.
He is the future. He's lightning sharp in and around the breakdown. His pace off the mark to get Saracens on the front foot himself, not using the big runners, but himself, is brilliant. That said, I did think Wiggy, when he came on, with the amount of time he had, he made a massive difference, and it's all about contribution. I think that was addressed. I think prior to this final is the strength of the two benches. I think Saracen's bench actually made a big difference today.
Well, let's hear from the leaders really in that Saracen's team. Brad Barrett, another immense performance, and Mark McCall, who is this understated, underrated director of rugby, who once again has led them to a third European crown.
Yeah, to be 10-0 down against a side of the quality of Leinster is obviously not the greatest position to be in, and then to lose Marrow to the Simbin around that time as well. We just saw the players handle that 10 minutes incredibly well, and to score just before half time was massive for us. And then I thought we played really brilliantly second half. We had one really important defensive set at the start of the second half. Leinster, one of the best teams at keeping the ball in your 22 and making you pay. I think it was George Crewe who got the turnover, and thereafter, the next 30 minutes, I thought we were very good. Our players took control at halftime, if I'm honest. They were very clear on what we needed to do. Just a little bit better. We weren't miles off. We just felt there was a little bit more in us in attack, a little bit more in us defensively. And it was Brad and Owen who said that and asked for a little bit more. And the 10 minutes that we played at the end of the half with 14 men, we kind of got where we wanted to go to. And we just continued that in the second half, to be honest. And I think there was just a great feeling in the team all the way through that second half.
Times in that first 15 minutes, we've been a bit tentative. And we hadn't quite been ourselves. And it was almost like the Marrow yellow card released us and allowed us to play our game. And it's just pleasing when, you know, you can have a reaction. And, you know, I can't speak highly enough for the leaders around me, but more importantly, the way the team responded to these key messages, because a message is only as good as the guys who follow it. And today they were phenomenal.
Just to confirm then, Brad Barrett was the man of the match today. And confirmation too that Alex Good was named the EPCR European Player of the Year. He received the Anthony Foley Memorial Trophy. Just a line on Brad Barrett, Tom, because once again, he just does the bread and butter, the hard yards, gets over the gain line. I mean, he's just Mr. Consistent, isn't he?
He's brilliant. You know, when you talk about putting your body on the line, that guy does it time and time again. I thought the way he carried today, just charges into the defensive line, no care for his body. You know, you can tell by his face there's enough scars on it. I actually thought his centre partner Alex Lazowski today was brilliant. You know, maybe unfortunate not to pick up that man of a match award himself. I thought defensively he was spot on, made decisions to step out of the line and make big hits when necessary, made contributions in attack. That is a, if you talk about balance in a midfield, that's almost a perfect midfield.
Not forgetting, of course, we had an equally compelling final the night before, of course. Clermont 36, La Rochelle 16 in the Challenge Cup final. And that really wasn't an entertaining affair, wasn't it? And Clermont, Tom, once again, proving their dominance. Tries from Lee, Penno, Fofana. La Rochelle tried. They got a nice score from Antonio to the right of the post. But were you surprised by that result?
No, not really. I think you know, Claremont have showed this year domestically and in an European competition that they are outstanding. Perhaps we've seen a little hoodoo lifted from them. They've now won a European competition. Will this mean they bounce back into the Champions Cup next year with a bang? I think it may well do. You know, it was slightly more harem scarum basketball style stuff compared to this today. But I think that was always going to be the case.
And one person I think a lot of people were thrilled to see smiling with a winner's medal was, of course, Benjamin Kaiser, who's lost 5 previous European finals. Here he is telling us what it means to finally win one.
It feels a bit surreal. On a personal note, it's obviously something I've been chasing for a long, long time. But at a club level, I mean, myself and Morgan played 3 Champions Cup final. And we've been chasing this for years and years, trying to represent proudly our region, our club, what we believe in. It's a new era at the club. There's guys like Damien Penaud or Arthur Ituria or whatever. They represent the future of the club. It's definitely not me. And they don't have this weight of the past behind them. So when we decide to win a competition in July, then you need to do it. And that's what we've done. That's why we're particularly extremely proud, because 45 guys who went to Romania, went to Wales, played at home, went to England, and then you stuck tight and you just win it. So it's a particularly sweet feeling, because we really dug deep as a squad to get this as an achievement. And on a personal note, it's obviously particularly special for me, because I've been chasing this for a long, long time.
Tom May, Benjamin Kaiser, we felt for him for so many years. Psychologically, it's a huge moment when that monkey is off your back.
Yeah, I guess. Do you know what? The really unfortunate thing for him is he's now 34 and that there's probably now players are going to come through and maybe nick his shirt. But, you know, he's managed to get that monkey off his back before he's retired. I think, you know, he's been a fantastic servant all through his career for no matter what team he's been playing for. And you could tell, I think, by his emotions at the end of the game, what it meant to him.
You can find action and reaction to the Challenge Cup final via @ERChallengeCup on Twitter, and go to the European Rugby Challenge Cup page on Facebook.
You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show, the official European rugby podcast.
Well, the action here in Newcastle is over, but tickets for Finals Weekend 2020 in Marseille are already available. Go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com to find out more. Brian Habana is one of those looking forward to having European finals back at the Stade de Marseille.
A stadium that, you know, has meant a lot for me. You know, having played for Toulon, we've had a couple of fantastic games and, you know, a memorable moment for me, you know, scoring that intercept try and in that semi-final clash in 2015. It's sort of this now encompassing stadium that's now been, you know, revamped, that makes the crowd really sort of sit on the field, which is absolutely brilliant. End of May in the south of France is beautiful weather, which is going to make for some fantastic running rugby. And again, you know, the French culture, the French way of life, and the French culinary experience is something that will not only get the players excited, but a lot of the travelling supporters. Hopefully, you know, we'll see Toulon, who, even though they, you know, in the Challenge Cup next year, you know, vying for a position which is, you know, only about 110 kilometres, you know, from their home base, which should be great.
Tom May, you played in a European final at the Stade de Marseille. Tell me what it's like.
Pretty good. It's one of those stadiums where, you know, you're surrounded by the passionate French. Obviously, rugby is their number one sport. They're banging on the side of the buses. There's colour everywhere. It's one of the most impressive stadiums you'll see, no matter where we play in Europe. And for the competition to be moving next year down to the south of France, I think it's a fantastic opportunity for a large number of teams, including the teams we've seen today in Leinster and Saracens, to make sure that they're in those finals.
Now, somebody who played here for Newcastle for many years is, of course, Doddy Weir. And it's not too late to support his foundation, which funds research into the causes of motor neurone disease, as well as potential cures. EPCR and Raging Bull Sportswear have teamed up to raise money for the charity, which the former Scotland and Lions lot formed after his MND diagnosis. You can get involved by purchasing one of the limited edition My Name's Doddy Foundation polo shirts. They cost £40. All the proceeds going to the charity. You can get them from the website ragingbullsportswear.com/MND. Tom, a thought on Doddy. He came out with the trophy again, and I think there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
No, he's brilliant, isn't he? I've bumped into him a couple of times over the past weekend, past couple of days, and he's just a great bloke to talk to. You know, he's dealing with his issues amazingly. He's raising a huge amount of money for the cause, and long may that continue.
Well, Liam Williams joins us in the mix zone. Liam, what a moment for the club, and you were taken right to the wall today. Tell us what it was like in that changing room after that match.
I'm not sure I can speak too much about the changing room afterwards, but obviously Leinster stuck up a good fight, and we didn't play too well in the first half, so to come out the second half and turn around was outstanding, and we're very happy to get the win.
Listen, you came up against one of the standout players for Leinster throughout this tournament in James Lowe. You dealt with him amazingly. Is he someone you've really had to try and analyse in the build-up to this game?
Yeah, of course. You know, he's world-class, and when we played him last year and they kicked us out, you know, he was unbelievable. So, I was just man-marking him this afternoon, and
pretty good job,
luckily, it went well, so, yeah.
There were nervous moments too, though, weren't there, Liam? Certainly the kicking game was going to be a pivotal element of it, and you were in the thick of the action. Tell me what it's like when you know the game plan is working, the ball goes up in the air, and you are charging up to try and make a difference.
I'm just doing my job, but, you know, if the ball's in the air, you know, I'm happy to go up and take it. Just, as I said, just doing my job.
Enjoy the moment. Thanks for talking, Liam. Appreciate it. Liam Williams joining us here in the mix zone. He is absolutely critical to this team, isn't he? Particularly the way that kicking game of theirs, the box kick. Without him, they'd probably be a different side.
His ability to win ball in the air or disrupt kicking ball opportunities to get hold of the ball for Leinster, I think he was brilliant. And we've seen it, haven't we, time and time again. We saw it on the Lions tour down in New Zealand. His ability to break the line. He's quite a slight guy. He's quite tall. But, you know, he's quite slight, but his ability to get over the game line, get his team on the front foot, is, you know, he does a really effective job for Saracens.
And you can understand there's a rowdy bunch of Saracens fans. The other side, they're the other.
It's been a long day.
And it's still going, Thomas. It's still going. And a word on the fans, Tom, because Leinster were here in their droves. An incredible colour down on the quayside, here in the stadium, everywhere I looked. This wall of blue, and it's going to be a tough one for them to take.
Yeah, look, I think there were a lot of people that thought Leinster were going to get here.
Including
me. I was hoping you weren't going to mention that.
I still can't get over that. You thought they were, and you were very clear on that. And
I just thought they would have enough detail and enough experience at this level. When with so much at stake and an opportunity to go, you know, five winning Champions Cup trophies. That's an opportunity you don't turn down. You just thought with the quality of player they had and that mindset they would be able to turn over. Maybe that was a bit too much for them, and maybe combine that with Saracen's suffocating power, that was just a bit too much on the day.
Well, Billy Vinopoulos joins us as well. Billy, we want to know who's singing, who's leading the celebrations in the changing room and in the bus.
I don't want to throw him under the bus, but
no, do it.
No, but Baz didn't prepare. I don't think he backed us. I don't think he backed us today, so that's the thumb downs from me. Hopefully, if we get to another final, he will come prepared, and the boys will get behind him.
So he wasn't prepared for the in-change room singing. He did all right when he came on, mine, didn't he? What do you think about his contribution when he came onto the field?
Those are the kind of players that kind of make us as a team. You know, teams don't really think that people like them can add value, and today he was awesome, not just around the park, but taking on some tough carries as well, and it's awesome that he came on quite early and just did his job. And that's all we want from players and from everyone else, is just be yourself.
And Billy, you proved you're the fittest team as well. I mean, you were going at it at 80 minutes like you were going at it in the first minute. I mean, where on earth do you get that resurgence, that fitness level from?
We've actually been doing a lot of fitness recently. Obviously, it's not been pumped out to the media, but every Monday we have fitness. After sessions, we have running. And obviously,
sometimes.
Exactly. But we know the goal at the end of it, and we made sure that we made it count today, and we definitely did.
And a word on Mark McCall, who is this understated man who has now delivered you a third European title. How different are you as a team from the last one you won a few years back?
Oh, massively different. I think what's probably different is the amount of trust that Smalley gives to us. You know, it takes time to trust the players to run a team, and Smalley's, like you've seen, he's humble enough to know that. But also, we still know he's the boss. He's the silent assassin, and you know, we just let him do him, and he does the same for us.
Billy, thanks for talking to us. Enjoy tonight.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Tom May, final thoughts on an epic weekend in Newcastle.
Hasn't it been? Even the weather held up. It rained pretty hard pre-game. I thought, oh no, this is gonna pour a bit of boringness on the final, but it didn't hold around. And I think this whole weekend, I think Newcastle have hosted this tournament brilliantly. I think people have bought into it, not only the people that have travelled here, but the locals. It's not necessarily a rugby town, as we know.
The party's still going, I think.
But mate, we got a long time for the party to go still yet. You know, it's a great place. And a worthy holder of the Honingham Champions Cup.
Well, that's all we got time for on the Champions Rugby Show from St James's Park. Congratulations to Saracens and Clement Auvergne. Thanks to Mike McCarthy and all of our wonderful guests throughout the season, and to you for listening. Please subscribe, rate and review us on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts or your directory of choice. And keep in touch with the Heineken Champions Cup on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and of course via heinekenchampionscup.com. But for now, from Tom May and me, James Burridge, it's goodbye.